turn to the book of St. John, the first chapter, the first verse. The title here, The Word Made Flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Hallelujah.
And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received. And grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then, art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, there's an awful lot in the reading of the scriptures here. One thing, you know, I've pondered about during my lifetime in studying the scriptures, I don't see how anybody could deny that Jesus Christ and the eternal spirit are one.
Hallelujah.
I don't see how they could. It would have to be spiritual ignorance for a person not to be able to acknowledge that. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. But it's stated very plainly in the book of St. John that he was in the world. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. Now then the question is, who made the world? According to Genesis, that in the beginning, God created the world, heaven and earth. And here it says here that in the beginning was the Word, that same God that created, came forth, was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And then the Bible said, He that created the world was in the world, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God,
Amen.
Even to as many as believed on his name.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now, somebody would say, well, I think, Brother Pike, that what that means, but see, you don't have to think about what that means, do you? It said, as many as believed on his name.
Hallelujah.
That means that whoever was in the world, that is to say, the world was made by him, and whoever he was, he had a name. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
So I said, well, I think that was talking about the Spirit. But the Bible said he was in the world, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as believed on his name, he gave them the power to become the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
That means that he had a name. The one that created heaven and earth had a name, and he left that name with the sons of God.
Amen.
Left it so that if we would believe in the name of the Son of God, that we could have the power of the Holy Spirit to transformate our lives into the life of God. Is that right? As many as believed on his name. And what name do we believe in? The name Jesus. Is that right? So then Jesus in the beginning was God. Is that right? In the beginning was Jesus, and the world was made by Jesus, and the same Jesus came forth and manifested himself in the presence of humanity. That's exactly what it's saying, and you might not understand it like that, but nevertheless, that's exactly what it's saying, and that's what it means. That's why Jesus said, My Father and I are one. We are one. You can't make three out of God. God is one.
Amen.
There's but one God, and that God is Jesus Christ. And there is no other God. He said, I know of no other. I alone, he said, stretched out the heavens. And he said, when I did it, there was no other God with me. There was no one that helped me. I did it all by myself, Jesus said.
Hallelujah.
So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And we know that the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And if it was made flesh, the only fleshly Word I ever knew, according to history, was Jesus Christ. Is that right? That's the name of the Word. If you want to know what the name of God is, it's Jesus Christ, because in the beginning was God the Word, and that God the Word was made flesh, and His name was Jesus. Is that right? Somebody would say, but I don't believe that. I believe that the name Jesus, Brother Pike, was the name of the Son of God. And I believe that God the Father's got another name. And someday He'll make it known to us. Isn't that what people believe? But God said to the Son, because Thou has manifested My name. Amen. Is that right? In other words, because You manifested My name, which is the Father's name, Jesus Christ, then I will give You a name. Is that right? Are you listening? The name Jesus Christ is the name of God, and the only name that God has ever had, and the only name that God will ever have. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. John came to bear witness of that light. John was not the light, but John came to bear witness of the light, to point him out to mankind and to tell them that there was a light that could transformate their lives and give them the eternal securities that they needed. Amen. When I think about that, I think about a present day where a man came, and they called him a man that was sent from God. And he said a voice spoke to him, and the voice said, as John the Baptist forerunned the first coming, then you'll also be a John the Baptist for the second. Is that right? Somebody said, but he didn't say it like that, but that was the way he explained it. Isn't that right? And so then he said, you will forerun the second coming of the Lord. Is that right? For John forerun the first, so shall ye take the message for the second. Is that right? Now, what was the forerunning of John? It was that John was not that light, but he came to bear record of that light. Is that right?
That's right.
That means that Brother Branham was not the light, but Brother Branham came to bear witness of the light.
Amen.
That's what the voice told him. He came to bear witness of the light. And that light shineth in darkness. And the Bible said that that darkness comprehended it not. Now, the Bible tells us that no man has seen God at any time, but the Son of God that dwelleth in the bosom of God, that is in the bosom of the Spirit, hath declared God, in that God is a declaration. Is that right? He hath declared God, because no man can see the eternal Spirit. Therefore, the only manifestation of the invisible God is the fleshly body of the Son, Jesus Christ. Is that right? He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is, there's no other human body except Him. He's the fullness of it. And we are members of that body, members in particular, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. So then, the light shined in darkness. And the Bible said that the only way to know this light was that it had to be comprehended.
Hallelujah.
Is that right? The only way to be acquainted with this light is to be able to comprehend this light. You can't see this light with your natural eyes. There's no way that you can see it. So that inasmuch as you cannot see it, then the Bible tells us the only way to be acquainted with it is that we've got to comprehend this light. And the Bible said it shined in the darkness. That is among the carnal mind. Is that right? Because God said to Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. That means from the carnal mind of the intellectual powers of the world. That is which has been a derivative from the garden and from the tree of knowledge. Turn my people, Paul, away from this darkness and turn them back to the light that Adam had in the garden. Is that right? The Shekinah glory of God. They covered with a covering, but not with my covering, he said. All right, now, he said that this light shined in the darkness. Jesus said, you can't see it. He said, but I am here so that I may declare this light to you. I want to declare it to you. It's a declaration. In other words, it's a revelation from God, and it has to be declared by the voice of Christ. Is that right? As when the Bible said, it's not you that speak, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you, that is the minister. So then, being a body of the Lord, being a member of that body, then Christ himself speaks. For the Bible said, in times past, God has spoken to us by the prophets. Isn't that right? He spoke to us by the prophets. Is that right? But has he in this last day spoken unto us by his own Son, Jesus Christ? Therefore, it is not the minister that speaks, but it is Christ, or God himself, speaking from within his body and speaking to the church, saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Is that right?
Right.
All right, now, it shined in darkness, and the Bible said that the darkness could not comprehend it. That means that it doesn't matter how intellectually smart you are, what college you attended, how much understanding you've got, what seminary you graduated from, it doesn't make any difference what place in life that you've attained unto. The Bible said that you can't comprehend this light. You might be a smart scholar. You might have gone to some Bible college. You might have studied for many long years. You might be a president. You might be a statesman. You might be some great eloquent person, a great orator. You might be a genius. But there's one thing about it. You can't comprehend this light. You might comprehend a lot of things, but not this light. You might comprehend the heights of how far it is to the moon, how far it is to the sun, but you can't comprehend this light. You know why? This light is a revelation. It is not comprehended by intellectual reasoning, which is referred to as darkness, but this light must be comprehended by the mind of God. And it shined in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. Is that right? But we are not children of the darkness. Is that right? But the Bible said that we are children of this light. We are children of this light. I like that, don't you? It says that we are the children of this light, and we're not children of darkness, and that day should come upon us unaware. But we can know when it's nigh at hand, and the Bible said that we've got an unction from the Holy One that we might understand all things. Is that right? The darkness can't comprehend it. But the Bible said that we can comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. Is that right? Are you listening to me? People who are in the carnal mind, they cannot comprehend the things of God. The Bible tells us that the things of God are spiritual, and they are foolishness to the natural man. And he rests with them unto his own destruction. Great intellectuals, they wrestle with these things. Even Peter, the great apostle that had the keys to the kingdom, he made the statement, he said they wrest these things to their own destruction. They keep trying to make them say what they want them to say and make them to be what they want them to be until eventually God's wrath is kindled against them and they are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. So then, if darkness can't comprehend it, then that means that we're saved. That means that they'll never be able to put a monopoly on it. And that means it'll never become a great world enterprise. But it means that there is a little flock that God has that is going to be able to develop the mind of Christ, because this light is the mind of Christ. This light that shined in the darkness in this dark world of evil, and the Bible said the very days are evil, that the atmosphere around us is dark, and this very light that's shining in this dark age, in this dark place, in this dark day, this very light, which is the mind of Jesus Christ, cannot be comprehended by people out in the world. Now, that simply means one thing, that those people can never be raptured. Those people can never be changed. Those people can never escape the fury and the wrath of God, because they cannot see when good cometh. They're like a blind man, and this light blinds them, and they can't see when good comes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
How many remember the battle of Gideon? How do you remember Gideon? When he compassed his enemy about, and he stood around on the outside of the enemy, and down the valley was the enemy. And here he stood around asking every man to stand in his place.
Right.
One thing that is hard to do today, and that's to get every man to stand in his proper place. Every man wants to do as the world tells us his own thing. And he doesn't want to function according to any government, any leadership, or anything else. But Gideon asked him to stand every man in his place. In other words, God had a plan, and God had a program, and he said, stand in your place. I know the Bible said, abide within your calling. We've got a place, folks, that we need to stay in. We've got a calling. God's called us to do a work. You might be a sergeant, you might be a captain, I might be a corporal, you might be a general. But whatever the place is, God is so ordained that you stay in that place. Now, if God has made you a captain and you're not satisfied, and you try to be a general, you're going to wreck up somewhere. You know why? Because you don't have the knowledge of a general. You don't have the ability of a general. Is that right? You've got to understand what God has called you to do. And you've got to stay in that place and do it. See, whatever God's called you to do, that's what you got to do. Now, I don't know what God's called you to do unless the Lord tells me. But whatever God's called you to do, you got to do it. Now, if you don't do what God tells you to do, God won't give you anything at all to do. Somebody said, well, I just don't see where that's big enough for me. You know, we feel get too big for our britches, somebody said. You know, I don't feel like that's big enough for me. After all, don't they know who I am? Well, if they don't know who you are, if you start showing your ignorance, it won't take them long to learn.
Amen.
The Bible said a fool is known by the multitude of his words. But there's one thing about it. We've got a position and we've got a place, and God wants us to stay in that position. Now, if I've never been to college, I can't tell you what a college graduate knows, because I've never learned it. Is that right? If I've never studied to be a statesman, I can't tell you what a statesman knows, because I've never been there. If I've not studied or understood how to be a president, I couldn't tell you how to do that, see? If I've never studied to be a lawyer, I couldn't be a lawyer, because I never studied to be a lawyer. I wasn't called to be a lawyer. I was called to be a preacher. I'd be in a bad fix if I tried to be a lawyer. And I said, well, bless God, I don't want to be a preacher. They don't have enough prestige, and they don't get enough money out of it, and their wife don't like them too good anyway.
Hallelujah.
Wish it had been something else. I think mine pretty well satisfied. But a lot of them ain't, because I've heard them mumble and grumble about it. And said, well, I'd rather be a lawyer. Are you listening to me? But if I tried to give you some legal advice tonight, the same way that a lawyer would, I'm afraid you'd be in trouble. If I tried to set it on your case in court and tried to convince the judge according to the law, not knowing the law, I'm afraid you'd be in trouble.
Right.
Now, if God sent me there, I'd be all right.
Praise the Lord.
So then, as David said, I don't exercise myself in those things that are too high for me. Whatever my ordination is, whatever my calling is, the Bible said, let every man abide within his calling. Let him prove himself to God. Let him find his proper position in God
and let him prove himself to God, and then he'll have rejoicing before God. Is that right?
That's right.
So then what I want to do is what God wants me to do. Now, there's a lot of things that in my natural state of being I'd like to do. See, why not buy a big tent, set a big tent out, get the crowd, leaving women preachers, and get us a few singers, and ask the senator to come over, and get the judge to visit you, and have a great big frolic. Why not do that? A lot of prestige, have a big ministry, everybody be happy, thousands of people come, and just have a jolly good time. But see, I wasn't called to do that. Somebody said, well, nobody was called to do that. Yes, they was. There was somebody called to do that, but it wasn't me. He said, where do you get that? Because the Bible said concerning Pharaoh, for this purpose have I raised him up, to harden his heart and destroy him, that I might show forth my glory. That's the purpose I raised him up for. So that was the calling of Pharaoh. I wasn't called for that. But somebody is called to fulfill the place concerning the tent, but it wasn't me. I'm trying to do what I was called to do. Let every man abide in his calling. Somebody says, well, bless God, that's just because you can't get a tent. I've had a number of them. Preached under a lot of them. But it's worked a little different with me. All right, now, Gideon said, if you'll just stay in your place. Said, we've got a job to do. And if you'll stay in your place. Now, I don't know what your place is unless God reveals it to me. A lot of times God will reveal something to me and tell me the place of an individual. And I'll take that individual and I'll try to tutor them and I'll try to tell them exactly where God wants them. A lot of times I don't tell people nothing because people don't want me to tell them anything. I've had people come to me and they say, Brother Pike, I want you to lay it on the line just like it is. But they didn't. Brother Pike, I want you to tell me like it is. But they didn't.
That's right.
And consequently, I didn't tell them.
Praise the Lord.
Because I knew that they didn't want me to tell them and they wasn't going to do what I told them to begin with. They had a mind of their own. But when a person truthfully comes to me and asks me in the Spirit of Christ, and I know that they're not just humbling their heart. The Bible says the devil humbleth himself for his own purpose. But I know that they sincerely are going to swear to their own hurt, and they want to learn something and understand something and find a place in God, then I'll tell them.
Praise the Lord.
If I know, if God will let me know, I'll tell them. But Gideon said, I want you to stay in your place. And he lined them up like they were supposed to be lined up. And he had them in a good position. He said, now everybody stay here. If you are a singer, then sing. If you are a preacher, then preach. If you're a traveling evangelist, then travel. Is that right?
Amen.
So then, whatever you are, that's what you're supposed to do. I thank God for every member of this work that we've got. Paul said, salute my workers. And I thank God for my workers. I thank God for my women workers. I thank God for my men workers. I thank God for every co-worker that I've got. I thank God for it because I need them. Every one of them I need. I thank the Lord for them. I don't see how that I could do anything without them. Jesus had workers. He had co-workers. All of them were laborers together. And they're co-workers. Now you say, but Brother Pike, I don't want to be a co-worker. I want you to co-work with me. Well, I'll do that. Get you something going. I'll co-work with Brother Delmer and co-work with a lot of others. I'll co-work with you too. Get you something going. Just make sure you know it's worthwhile in what you're doing, and I'll co-work with you. But nevertheless, a lot of times we think too highly of ourselves. And the Bible said we're not to think too highly of ourselves, but to think soberly according to the measure of faith has been dealt unto us. Now somebody said, well, what do you mean by that? The Bible said, prove your works. Do something. Let it show for itself. What have you done? What are you doing? What have you done? What are you going to do? If you've done something, then it'll show. People see it. If you haven't done anything, then it'll show. People see it. But he said, to prove your works, do whatever you're going to do. If God has dealt you a measure of faith, then take that measure of faith and use it. Are you paying attention to me?
Praise the Lord, amen.
All right. Everybody's got their mind on leaving. Leave. I love you, but leave. Don't sit here with your mind on leaving. This is important to me. It might not be you, but it is to me. All right, now. So then, I feel that if you've got any faith, then you ought to use your faith. Whatever your faith is, use your faith. If it's a little measure of faith, pray that God will bless it.
Yes, amen.
God will give you more faith. God will give you more faith. I read in a pamphlet today where a man said he has faith. He prays for people to get teeth filled, and the pamphlet said that he'd had more teeth filled than anybody else on the field. I don't doubt that. I know that God fills teeth. I know that people have ability to do that. God works miracles. And I know that God can fill a tooth just as good as he can heal a headache or anything else. Don't you? I know he can do that. I've never seen a tooth that God ever filled. But it still doesn't make me doubt it. I believe that God can. I believe that he can. But I don't believe he will unless you have faith. I don't believe you will. But if you got the power to have teeth filled, that's good. That's wonderful, I think. If you got faith to raise the dead, I'm glad. More power to you. Just pray that some of it will get off on me. I'm not jealous of you a bit. If you can get out here and do like Brother David Carroll and reach hundreds and thousands of people, I'm for you. I'm not against you. If I can do anything to help you, I'll help you. Whatever God wants you to do, I'm for you. But one thing I ask you not to do, and that's be a busybody in other people's matters and tear down everything God's trying to do.
That's right, amen.
That's one thing I ask you not to do. Build up and do something, but don't tear down. So Gideon said, I want you to stand in your place. Now, why did he want him to stand in the place? He said, because we're going to do a certain thing. And this thing has to do with the light. And he looked down in the valley, and he saw a valley full of people down there. It was all out of sorts. And these people was fumbling around, and they didn't know what they were doing because they were in the dark. And Gideon knew that those people's eyes were accustomed to the dark. And that the way that he had of defeating them, God had placed it in his heart, was all of a sudden to turn on the light. And that light would be so bright that those creatures of darkness would not be able to see them, nor be able to find their way. And Gideon would be able to conquer those people.
Amen.
That's the way I believe it.
Hallelujah.
See, stand in your place.
Hallelujah.
Stand in your place.
Hallelujah.
We're fixing to have a battle, a free-for-all. Stand in your place.
Hallelujah.
If you're a soldier of the cross, be a good soldier. And endure hardness like a good soldier. But stand in your place, because God is fixing to do something. And that something is make the world to see a light like it's never seen before. John was not that light, but he bore witness of that light. And this light that cometh in the world cometh to lighten all men. This great light that the darkness comprehended not, they can't comprehend it. The Bible said that the wicked will not see when good cometh. And this great light is ready to break forth. So Gideon said, stand in your place. Every one of you, stand in your place. And he lined them up, and they stood, every one, in his place. And Gideon said, when I say the word, don't do it before. Don't get something going of your own now. Don't try to get something going on your own. But he said, just stand hand in hand. And when I say the word, he said, then we're going to do this thing together. He said, we're going to come together on it. And when I give the word, he said, we're all going to move at one time. At one time. And so then he lined them up around there. And when everything was just right, Gideon, he might have passed the word along, you know, say, all right, tell everybody to get ready now. Get ready. Get ready now. Get ready now. You're passing the word along. Get ready now. Fix and go. Get ready. And the Bible said at the very right moment, there they stood with little pitchers of clay, and inside the pitchers of clay they had a little light. I'm glad. I like to hear him sing that song. Jesus gave me a little light, and I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. It might not be as big as your light. It might not be as big as Brother Carroll's light. And it might not be as big as Brother Branham's light. But it's still got a light. And I'm going to let it shine. My little light's going to light in the corner where I'm at. I'm going to light the candle and I'm going to let it shine. The Bible said that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching out the inward parts. So I got a little light. Have you got a little light? I've got a little light. And the Bible said the midnight cry, all of them rose up and had the oil and trimmed the vessels and lit the little lamp. Now, here they stood. How many of you standing in your place tonight? The Bible said abide in your calling. Is that right? How many are abiding in your calling tonight? Now I know somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not abiding in my calling because I don't understand my calling. I don't know who I am. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to tell you something, brother and sister. Until you get to the place that you'll be willing to listen to a shepherd and somebody that God has sent in the world, you're never going to know your calling. You're too stubborn, too rebellious, too contrary to listen to what somebody will tell you. You'll never know it. But I challenge any person tonight. It doesn't matter, man, woman, boy, or girl that's old enough to know what they're doing. If they will humbly, sincerely devote their life to God, God will show them their work and show them their calling, and they can abide in that calling and have treasures in heaven when they depart this life right here. Amen. You can do it. But if you're going to try to take the calling you want and be what you want to be, a lot of people feel like that they're called to the ministry when they are not called to the ministry. God has never called them to the ministry. God's never ordained that they be in the ministry because it isn't a calling in their life. And all they do is confuse themselves and everybody else they talk to because God didn't call them for that. All they'll ever do in their life is create division and cause confusion because God didn't call them into the ministry. You can say amen or me. Some people feel like they're called to sing. And because of that, if you don't let them sing, they sit and pout. They either sing or pout. It's obvious that they were called to pout, not sing. Because if they're called to sing, they sing. God would make the way for them to sing. So they obviously was called to pout because he's made the way so they could pout. You've got a calling. Some people are called to be fault finders, backbiters. The Bible said some of these were men from before of old, ordained under this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying Christ. That is, not by saying, I don't believe in God, but denying Christ by their everyday deed, not obeying the Scripture. The child is known by his doings, is that right? Now, I'm going to stop before it gets cold in here, so just hold on. I think that was cooling off both ways.
Praise God.
Anyway, Gideon said, if you'll just work together, if you just learn a little coordination, just a little working together. I had a vision here a while back. A fella, he just couldn't rest because he couldn't take over my position. Had a vision night before last. He was back again. He couldn't rest, trying to take over my position. Now, that's all right. If God has called him to take over my position, that's fine. And if he takes it over, he'll do well. But woe be unto him if God hasn't called him.
Amen. Praise God.
You understand what I'm saying? I'll back off and let you have it if it's what God wants, because I want what God wants. But I'll tell you what. You better be sure. The song said, very sure. That when you jump into a certain place, that you know what's in that place.
Amen. Praise God.
Because sometimes you don't.
That's
right. So then Gideon said, just stay here together. Stay here together. Stay here together.
Hallelujah.
Stay here together and stand in your place. And every person stood in their place. And Gideon passed the word along. And Gideon said, when I say the word, then we're going to do something that will cause the enemy to be defeated. And God's going to smile on us, and we're going to take everything we've got, and God's going to restore everything that the enemy has taken away from us. How is he going to do it? Gideon said, all we've got to do is just be ready to break the clay pitcher at the right times. And that's all it's going to take. All you got to do is just be ready to break the clay pitcher at the right time. The Bible said, whosoever falleth on this stone shall be broken.
Yes.
I found the stone of Israel, they said.
Oh, yes.
I found the stone of Israel. So that if you find the stone of Israel, all you got to do is fall on the stone of Israel and be broken. And if you're broken, then God can use you and your light will shine. And so then Gideon said, all of you stand together because we're fixing to do something for God. And about that time as the word was passed on, God spoke the word to Gideon, and every man took the little clay pitcher and he broke the little clay pitcher. And when he broke the little clay pitcher, the light began to flood the valley and the place lit up like day. And those people's eyes, being accustomed to the darkness, they didn't know which way to go. When they broke them little clay pitchers, somebody probably screamed out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
Yes.
You know, people don't like that last part, do they?
No.
The sword of the Lord, that's all right, but they don't like that Gideon part, do they?
No.
But they cried out and said, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And they got so frustrated, they didn't know what to do. And the Bible said they turned on each other. That's what the world's going to do out yonder. When this light begins to shine, it's going to be so bright that the darkest can't comprehend it, and they're going to turn on one another. They're already doing it. They're praying off of one another now. Look at just since this light started shining, just since the age of it has come in, look at the baker. The baker's trying to eat up the builder, and the builder's trying to eat up the baker, and the government's trying to eat them all up. They're turning on one another, fighting one another, can't get along with one another. Everybody's afraid somebody else has got it. But we got it. We got it. Because the Bible said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we're the one that's got it. I'm not worried about it because I know that we've got it. They want it, but we've got it. We sang that song, have you got it, like the Bible reads. We're rising to take the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Rising to take the kingdom. I'm going to say this in closing tonight. There's one thing about it in rising to take the kingdom. It's going to take being willing to break the little clay pitcher. Some of you are not willing to be broken for God and to be spent for God or to yield yourself to God. Some of you will never come to God with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Never. But it's going to take being broken and following the leadership that God has put in the earth, whether it's Brother Gary or Brother Hollis or Brother Pike or Brother Taylor or Brother Jimmy or whoever it might be. It's going to take you being willing to break your spirit and to humble your hearts and come to God and obey them that have the rule over you. Because there's no power but that be ordained of God. So then the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But we have comprehended the heights and the depths and the width through the mind of Christ, having an unction from the Holy One, that we should know all things. All that the Father has made known unto him, he hath made known unto us.
Hallelujah.
All right, I want you to stand with me. I felt like exhorting you a little bit tonight, and I hope that this will do you a lot of good. I hope that you can get a hold of what we're trying to tell you. Find your calling in the Lord. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. God can use you. God can help you. If you're willing to be used and willing to be hoping, willing to do what the Lord has called you to do, God can use you. God will use you. God wants to bless you. But don't be foolish, because if you go try to do something God hasn't called you to do, you're going to wreck up. The Lord's wonderful, isn't he?
Amen.
Wonderful. We sang the song, Oh How I Love Jesus. I wonder if we could sing that little chorus. Oh, how I love Jesus. lot of people have grown old, never having found their place in the Lord Jesus during their whole lifetime. And the reason is because they were so determined to do something they wasn't called to do, or to be something they wasn't called to be. As a consequence of that, they never got to be anything. The Bible said, if you want to be the head, then I'll make you the tail. Come on, folks. I said, every one of you that desires to take over and be the head, he said he's got a place for you, and that's the tail. Is that right? But he said, if we're willing to humble ourselves, wash our brother's feet, willing to do anything that God wants us to do. Somebody said, well, I'm willing to wash my brother's feet to get to be the head. But it didn't say that, did it? It just said, be willing to wash your brother's feet, period. Was that what he's saying? When you get willing to humble your heart and wash your brother's feet, just to be a servant to your brother, to help your brother, that's the greatest calling you could ever have. Jesus washed your feet. He came to minister to people, to give him life, give his life a ransom for many. That is the ministry. See how blind you can get. The only ministry there is to minister to somebody. For he said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. That is to wash your feet, to feed you, to give them a life for you, to do everything I can for you. That is the ministry. Wanting to be the head and lead people and tell them what to do, that's not the ministry. The ministry is to love them and be concerned about them and help them and do something for them. That's the ministry. When you do that, all of a sudden you begin to get a ministry. You begin to get a ministry. Because if you love people, people follow you. You do good things for people, people follow you. Isn't that right? They might say, well, I don't have to go through all them channels. I just tell them a few things and they follow me. I know they will, but someday they'll despise your image when they find out about your lying tongue and your deceit. But if you love them, if you love them, if you love them, I'll go with